You'll notice in the bulletin that our special services begin next week in the morning and evening. Children's programs. We do have a Sunshine Preschool program in the evening next week, and I encourage you to come and be a part of that. There'll be parents and grandparents and relatives of the children that attend our preschool. They'll be here. It's an exciting time to see all the people. This place will be filled. We'll probably have to put out all the chairs we have, and we'll have somewhere around 200 plus, maybe 200 to 300 people coming here next Sunday night. And if you've never attended one of our Sunshine presentations, you might want to do that. So that's just a little plug for the Sunshine program next week. And then on the 18th, we'll be having a special service. Now, this Christmas falls on the 25th, which is a Sunday this year. And so some folks have asked, well, Pastor, what are you going to do? What are we going to do on the 25th? Because so many celebrate. Well, we're going to have a late morning special Christmas service here at 11 o'clock. And I know with most families, especially if there's children involved, they're up early and they get a lot of their celebration over. And so by 9:30, 10, you look at each other, okay, what are we going to do? Why don't you move? What are we going to do? Well, plan on coming to church. 11 o'clock, we're going to have a special communion service, Christmas. We'll have the reading of the Christmas story. We'll be singing some Christmas carols and just, again, reminding ourselves the real meaning of Christmas. Which leads me to the subject for today. You know, what's in a name? The question has been asked many times. And I'm asking it today with respect to this time of year. It's as if across the world, people pause, at least for a brief moment in time, to remember, to celebrate something very special. It's Christmas. The question is, if you've noticed what's been going on in our world today around us, is it a Christmas tree or a holiday tree? That's the big issue. With all that's going on in the world, with the poverty we've seen even this morning, and all the great issues we have, astute individuals, well-educated, debating the issue, is it a Christmas tree or a holiday tree? You wonder sometimes, don't you? At least it makes you want to ask yourself the question, how relevant is that? Why should we even be discussing this? Why, it's only in recent times that we've had this discussion, very recent times. We would never debate or argue over the issue, is it a Christmas tree or a holiday tree? And yet I saw some people who claimed to be very well-educated and intellectual get rather excited over the issue and in verbalizing their opinions on this, insisting that we need to think of others and we need to defer and we need to perhaps call this that we oftentimes erect, like this right here, this beautiful tree. Let's call it a holiday tree. A holiday tree. Now, why is that? What's in a name? What's in it? What is it about a name that creates this kind of feeling? People can become angered at just the mention of some terms or some phrases that we use this time of year. And, you know, what should we be concerned about it? Controversy has arisen over what to call the tree we decorate and adorn this festive season. Should we say Happy Holidays or Merry Christmas? I mean, which is it? Why such a controversy? This issue has become a battle over a name, and should we as Christians be concerned about it? Some of you are going to wonder when you go shopping, dare I say Merry Christmas to the cashier? When she says Happy Holidays? Can I respond that way? Will somebody give me a dirty look, thinking that I'm being insensitive to perhaps what others might think? Should I be intimidated? Should I restrain myself and just around my family let them know my true views about this time of year? Say, it's Christmas, folks, it's Christmas. Names and titles, what do they convey? Consider the process of naming a child. That's quite an ordeal in some families, you know. You may not have thought of this, but your name probably has some significance to somebody. Why did my mom and dad give me this name? I've heard people lament over that, and they don't realize that you're a namesake. You're named after somebody in your family, or maybe it was someone who was highly esteemed, and you don't have the privilege of knowing that because you didn't know that person, but you might resent the name that was given you, or you might be thankful that your parents gave you the name they gave you. But sometimes a lot of thought goes into that whole idea. I know some families and all their children have Bible names because there's something about that. I guess we just, I don't know if we feel closer to God or what it is, but we'll go right down the line, and we've entered a period of time where I hear Old Testament names that I never heard growing up, Zedekiah, Jedediah, and Jeremiah. Of course, Jeremiah is not quite so different, but, these Old Testament names. What about this? Names. Well, names are important. They not only identify, but sometimes are used to describe one's nature and function. The name we celebrate at Christmas time is very special. And do you know it has been given to us by God? The God of all creation has deigned to speak into our world. And he has given us a name that we ought to revere. Say, what's the big issue here? It's not just anybody. It is God who has spoken to mankind. He has invaded us, our environment, and he has sent a message, and he has spoken. Let's take for a moment a look. Isaiah, that familiar passage, you're going to hear some of these scriptures being quoted during this Christmas season. And one of the great passages is found in Isaiah in the 9th chapter in the 6th verse. You say, well, why is it we have such a holy awe about Christmas and why do we revere it so? Well, it has an ancient, it goes way back into the past. There's an ancient beginning to this and prophecy came. God would speak to the prophets of old. And in Isaiah, the 9th chapter, in the 6th verse, it says, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." And notice this, it says, "His name shall be called." And then it gives us a list of some titles here. Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. If you ever wondered, is Jesus truly God? Well, notice what the name is of this special child that's going to be born. Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. All these things wrapped up in a name. You say, well, are names special? Yes, they are. Do they convey certain things that we ought to consider? Yes, they do. And this was a very special person that was going to be born on the earth. There's Old Testament prophecy, and you can look through other books of the Old Testament scriptures talking about the one that would come. And the term that was used for this individual is Messiah. Messiah. So when you hear talk of the Messiah, well, the Messiah is coming. Now, there are some folk that don't think the Messiah has come. There are some cultures, they're still looking for the Messiah. But the Bible tells us that God was going to send the Messiah, told us what to look for, told us a lot about his name. He spoke into history. And there are prophecies about the coming of the Christ child. In the New Testament, Christos is the New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament Messiah. So we say he's not just Jesus. You might know several people whose name is Jesus. Because there are some cultures where they use that name, like your name is John or Bill or Tony or Susan or whatever. They would name their child Jesus. There are some cultures. So they say, hey, I know a Jesus. Well, he pronounces it Jesus, but that's Jesus. But what's so special about this Jesus? Because it's not just Jesus or Christos or Jesus, but it's Christ. Christos or Christ. And that means that we are identifying this Jesus from all others who have been named Jesus. He is Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the one that was prophesied about in Isaiah and throughout the Old Testament. That's the person we're talking about. That name was given by God. God spoke into history and he said, this person is coming. You say, what is so special about it? It's because God said, look for this individual, the Messiah, the Christ. The Christ is going to come. Going to come. We hear that name being used in vain sometimes. Some people say, what's so bad about it? Well, and some people use the name Christ, Jesus, and Jesus Christ, and they'll use it as an expletive. They'll use it as a sentence filler. You ought never to do that. That's using God's name in vain. Some people will even glibly say, oh my God. I see that all the time. OMG, oh my God. Do you realize that that could be construed as being taking God's name in vain? Oh my God. Well, I ask you, who is your God? Is it that little idol on a shelf in your house? Or is it the God of heaven? Is that your God? Then you're using his name in vain. Because it's not your God, it's oh my God, I said. Oh my God. Now, if you use that in a prayer and say, oh my God, help me, and you mean it as a prayer, that's one thing. But so many people, even Christians, do it all the time. Oh my God, oh my God. Do you think that glorifies your Heavenly Father? That's a special name God gave to the Christ child. He said, Christ is going to come. He's going to be God, a very God, the Son of God. And then we use so glibly some of these phrases and we speak of deity, the one that we love, the one that we serve, and we use his name lightly. Don't ever use the name of God lightly. It was such a revered name in the Old Testament, they wouldn't even speak the name of God. That's why there's some speculation as to what that the tetragrammaton means, because the name for God in the Old Testament, the Hebrew, it's all consonants, no vowels. You say, well, how do I pronounce that? Vowels, they show you how to pronounce it. Well, they've come up with a few things, and so we say things like, Jehovah or Yahweh. See, where did that come from? Well, it's really consonants, and we put vowels in there. We think this is the way they pronounce it. So now the best that we've come up with is we think it's Yahweh or Yahweh or something like that was the name for God. But we don't know because they wouldn't speak the name because they so highly revered the name. It was lost over time. We don't know exactly how it's pronounced. We just assume maybe this is the way it was said. And so we use words like Jehovah or Yahweh. By the way, Jehovah is really a mistranslation. They say that it's really probably wasn't Jehovah. But we use it. We know what we mean when we say Jehovah. It's kind of an in-house term for us. To say the name of God and to use that name rather glibly, what an affront to the God we serve. God spoke into history, said there's coming one. I think of what it says. Notice in Matthew, the first chapter, we're talking about how important this name is. And verse 18 and verses following. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew, the first chapter. And verse 18. And Matthew is interesting because he gives us the birth of Christ from the perspective of Joseph. Some things about Joseph and what was going through his mind when he heard that this woman that he was espoused to, that he was going to take in marriage, was pregnant. And, you know, any young man nowadays that's wanting to marry someone, you can imagine what a shock that would be if he found out that having not had any relations with this woman, all of a sudden she's pregnant. You say, hey, there's something not right here. You talk about concern. And so Joseph was in that predicament. Here he has this wife, and she winds up being pregnant. He's supposed to be married to her. And a lot of questioning goes on. So that's the background. So then we read this in Matthew, the 18th verse, in the first chapter. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. He didn't want to publicly make a spectacle of her. And he loved her so much, he said, we're going to conclude this thing, and we're going to end this thing, but I don't want anybody to really know about this. So he was planning on doing it in a very discreet way, so that it would embarrass her, and she wouldn't become the object of ridicule publicly. That was in his heart. And then in verse 20, but when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bear a son, and notice this, and you shall call his name Jesus. For it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now, where did he get that name from? He got it from a heavenly visitor in a dream. So you're not going to call this baby Joseph Jr. You're not going to name this child after his uncle or any of your brothers or any family member. You're going to name this child Jesus. And then in verse 22, now all this took place, that was what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son. And notice, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, it doesn't say Jesus there. It says Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. So when we're singing about Emmanuel, that name means God with us. The angel said, you're going to call him Jesus. And it has that the idea of salvation with attached to that name, Savior, salvation, a Savior. And now we get this prophecy in the Old Testament, Emmanuel, God with us. You combine those two, and what do you come up with? You come up with Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. He is God who walks among us. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took her as his wife and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So when we talk about this name and what's in a name, it's very special because Jesus got his name, he really, from his heavenly Father, God the Father, set the wheels in motion and put it in the hearts of those who were going to name this child. What do you name this child? Well, you give him that name that is above every other name. It's more important than any other name on earth. He is the Savior, the Son of God, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, angels also, we have this story in the Christmas story, it's wonderful. You go over to Luke's gospel and we get a little bit different slant, a little bit different vision of what was happening, going to happen with the birth of the Christ child. And you'll notice in Luke, the second chapter, if you go to verse 8 and a few verses that follow there, notice what it says here, because this is again talking about this child that's going to come, and then giving us an idea of the identity of this child. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior," a Jesus, a Savior, who is Christ the Messiah, Christ the Lord. A heavenly visitation again. Jesus didn't just receive his name in a haphazard way. It came from the throne of Almighty God. This is Jesus the Christ. Jesus loves people as the Father loves people. And God the Father wanted to send a Savior to a race of mankind, to a people that had rebelled against him. Now God wanted to make a way back to the path that leads right to the throne of God. And the only way that could happen was to send him his only son. He could do what no one else could do. And by believing in the name of Jesus the Christ, you know, the name above every name, this is not just someone's fanciful idea of how to come into reunion with God. This is coming right from the throne of God. This is the way to have fellowship. This is the way to be brought back into right relationship with your heavenly Father. It's through the one that the Father sent, through the one that the Father named. It's Jesus the Christ. The Christ. I like what it says. Back in that 10th verse of Luke 2. You say, why should we as Christians be concerned about this controversy over a name? Why should we be concerned? Because can't we just keep it to ourselves? You see, that's what the antagonists would say to the church. You can believe what you want to believe. Just keep it to yourself. You can't do that. Of all times of the year, you can't do it. Why? Christmas time, there, that's a time of proclamation. And here we're celebrating this wonderful event that took place in time. From out of the vastness of the universe and eternity, now comes this wonderful event placed right in the middle of time. And it's a great proclamation. And the world would say, don't say anything about it. You can believe what you want to believe. Just don't. Don't go out and proclaim it. Don't make other people feel uncomfortable. Be considerate. And I'm wondering why they feel uncomfortable at the name of Jesus. Have you noticed that? You can get attention. Everybody can be reveling and doing what they're doing, and oftentimes doing things they shouldn't be doing. And you mentioned the name of Jesus the Christ, Jesus Christ, and see what happens. Oh, what a downer. Why'd you have to do that? What are you talking about? Hey, come on, let's have fun. Don't bring that. Let's not talk about that. You know why? The name above every name. Because it speaks of beauty and purity and holiness and how one should be right with God when you speak the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden there comes an awareness of a lack of all those things one should have. And they try to protect themselves, and they don't want to feel that. They don't want to feel conviction. They don't want to feel that. And so they say, why don't you just keep it to yourself? I want to have a good time. I want to party on. Let's party on. I don't want to talk about religion. I don't want to talk about Jesus. That's a down. I don't want to go there. They don't understand that the most joy you'll ever experience is when you get into the presence of the one you avoid. You get into the presence of Jesus. You get into a place where His Spirit just overwhelms you, and the joy of the Heavenly Father who loves you just fills your soul and your spirit. What joy unspeakable and full of glory you experience. And the world doesn't know that. And it's your job and it's my job to proclaim that, yes, this is Christmas. It's a time of year we proclaim that Christ has come. Christ has come into the world. And He provides a way out of sin and all those things that would bind our lives, all those things that would depress us. God has brought liberty and provides it through His Son, Jesus. And we proclaim it. Jesus the Christ has come. He's come. That 10th verse says, for behold, I bring, notice this, this is why we proclaim Christ at Christmas and all during the year, I bring you good news. First of all, it's good news. Anybody here want to hear good news? I want to hear some good news. I've heard a lot of bad news this week. And I've got people who, from time to time, they want to fill my ear with all kinds of stuff. And it's bad news. And, you know, I have to sometimes just kind of shake my head and say, dear Jesus, help me and help this individual and that one and all. You know, I want to hear some good news. And the Bible says, guess what? I bring you good news of a great joy, not just happiness that you get one day. It's a great joy. It's something that's going to overwhelm you, overcome you. It's something that's going to exhilarate you. It's a great joy. Good news. Great joy. And then it goes on to say, which shall be for all the people. That's why I don't keep quiet at Christmas time. It's not just for me. Oh, the naysayer will say, keep it to yourself. I can't, because you see, it's not just for me. It's for you. It's for you. Christmas is a time when we should proclaim loud and clear to the world, Jesus the Christ has been born, has lived among us. He is alive now at the right hand of the Father. And He loves you. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the one promised by God. Jesus has come. He's the center of our adoration. He's the center of our festivities and our celebration. It is Jesus the Christ. Oh, it's just a tree, yes. But we call it a Christmas tree. It's not just any old tree, because it reminds us of the festivities of this occasion. And so we dedicate something. We say we're celebrating not just to celebrate, but all the merriment, all the joy that goes along with that. And oh, if you want to spiritualize it, you know, you can spiritualize it. And you know that we look at that tree and the green of it, and it's adorned and it's beauty. And we can also say, you know, there is a tree of life that God has promised. That's not the tree of life, but it reminds us that there is a tree of life. And we can talk about the beauty that God puts in our life. That was just a tree out in the woods at one time. Well, I don't know about that one, but yeah, that was just a tree that was in a factory somewhere at one time, you know. But think of how they took all those things that weren't lovely and all of a sudden made something beautiful like that. And Jesus does the same in our lives. He takes your life and all the stuff that you're not proud of, all the stuff that you'd like to forget, and then He adorns your life and makes it beautiful through His holiness. As you seek Him, Jesus comes into your life and you begin to blossom. New life shows forth. And that which was unlovely at one time all of a sudden becomes beautiful in the sight of God. I mean, you can spiritualize it if you want. I don't have to get all wrapped up. Oh, that's a pagan symbol. Well, maybe to some people, but not to me. It is what you make of it, folks. If you want to see things, if you want to make gods of certain things, you can make gods of certain things. If you want to have issues over something, you can if you want to. Or you can just say, you know, it's no big deal. I'm just going to celebrate and enjoy this time of year and love God and serve God and celebrate and Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing. And yet there are people who are letting things separate them from God because they've gotten so involved and contentious over, you know, what version of the Bible we read or whatever. Come on. Let's enjoy life as God intended. Let's get close to Jesus. You see, this message was for all the people. That's why you cannot keep quiet about it. You can't be silent. Jesus is the Christ. That's the whole message, Christmas. There are other names in Scripture that we can read about him, just like were listed in Isaiah, other names for him. But as we conclude, we ask that question again. You know, why is it such a problem for some folk? Why has Christmas become a time for litigation and controversy? It's a time of the year that we should celebrate all the good things our Heavenly Father has provided. And I believe it's because of his name, the name, which is his name, not just Jesus, but Jesus Christ, from which we get the word Christmas, whom God has revealed to be his only begotten Son and who is our Savior. So how about it, folks? Where are you on this issue today? Where are you going to be in the next few weeks? Are you going to be intimidated, pushed back in a corner? Or are you going to be that individual that will say, you know, you can call it what you want. Happy holidays, seasons, greetings, whatever, but I say Merry Christmas. Because I want to remind you, as I remind myself, that God loved me so much that he sent his Son into the world. The most treasured gift the world has ever received. And it came from the heart of God. A God who loves me. A God who wants to help me. And you know, my friend, he wants to help you. God came in the form of a baby in a manger. Not just for me. But he came for you. Would you bow your heads in prayer? As we close this service this morning, these next few moments, if there's anybody here today that would say, you know, I never looked at it quite like that. Christmas really is a special time. It's a time for reflection, and it's a time when we need to be thankful. And this morning, I just feel the touch of the Lord in my life, and maybe I haven't been as vocal as I should be. Maybe I haven't been as ardent in my expressions of love and for the Lord. And maybe I've been intimidated. And I have to admit that I've felt a little funny about it. The fact that some people might be offended, but I just feel this morning God wants me to have a boldness, maybe a newfound boldness about this whole issue. And I need to share with others the true meaning of Christmas and what Jesus means to me. And I just want the Lord to help me in my witness. I don't want to be one of those who are intimidated, and I want to be bold in my witness. This is a time for proclamation. And I want to be one of those that takes a stand and says, I'm not going to leave Christ out of Christmas. I'm going to emphasize the fact that that's what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the fact that God loved me so much. He sent the most precious gift, the Savior. And I'm going to ask the Lord to help me in my witness. Are you here today, my friend? Is that your prayer? You want to have a stronger witness for the Lord? You don't want to be intimidated? You want to have a positive influence on society, on your world? There's somebody that you know that needs to know Jesus. How's your witness doing? Have you been effective in witnessing them, witnessing to them, or are you leading them, or are they leading you? If you're here today and you'd say, you know, Pastor, I want God's help to give me a bold witness. Just slip your hand up. I know what it means. God knows what it means. Amen. Yeah, just slip it up. By so doing, you're saying, God, see my hand. And I'm just saying, I want my witness to be bold. I don't want to back off. I want to be bold in my witness, especially at Christmas time. God's going to give you a chance to do that. Ask of the Lord and He'll give it to you. You'll receive. Right now, across this congregation, people are looking to the Lord. And if you're not right with God, maybe you slip back in your Christian walk. And you need a closer walk with the Lord. Now's your time to say, Jesus, I recommit my life to you right now as I pray. Now's your time. Don't let it pass you by. As I pray, you pray and say, Jesus, I need a closer walk with you. And I want it to begin right now in this place at this time. As I pray, Lord, there are folks here in this service and they're acknowledging that they have a need. They want a bolder witness. They want to be effective in proclaiming the wonderful story of Christmas. Oh, it is a time for celebration. And it is a holiday season, so to speak. But it's more than that. It is Christmas. We celebrate God's expression of love to us. And it's very special. So, Lord, I pray for those who are desiring to have a bolder witness. I pray, dear God, even now, the Holy Spirit would anoint them with your presence, Lord, to be effective as they speak. In these next few days, weeks, as we approach Christmas Day. And I pray, Lord, for those that are here today that have been lax in their witness for you. Maybe they've fallen back. They've not been faithful in their commitment. But they sense that, Lord, you're speaking to them. Even now, in the name of Jesus, may they be free. Set them free, Lord, from those things that would bind their lives. I rebuke the enemy in Jesus' name. Set them free, Lord. May they feel the liberty and the freedom that is found only in you. May the joy of the Lord begin to overwhelm them from this moment on as they make that commitment that their life's going to be different. It's going to be different. And they're going to start to proclaim you as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Emmanuel. Stand as we sing a song. Emmanuel. His name is called. Time, it's your proclamation. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. His name is called Emmanuel. God with us. Emmanuel. Now just take a moment and thank Him right now with your hands lifted to the Lord. Say, thank you, Lord, for who you are and for what you have done in my life. I thank you, Lord. Right now, just give praise to the Lord for who He is. Hallelujah. We extol your name, O God. In the sanctuary of the Lord this morning, we bless the holy name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The gift of from heaven that came from the heart of our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name for who you are and for what you have done in our lives. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. As we leave this morning, let us go knowing that Emmanuel goes with us. His presence goes with us. And you have a job to do this week. Your mission that comes from heaven is to touch somebody else's life. Proclaim the gospel. Be what God wants you to be. And there aren't four walls that can contain all the people that need to hear what you need to share. This place would explode. We wouldn't have a facility big enough once people come to know the truth. The truth will set them free. It's Christmas, folks. Let's share the good news. Let's take the message of the Lord. Let's bring that gift to the world. Let's do that. Hallelujah. Let's honor God. Let's be faithful in our calling. Jesus, we love you and we thank you for what you've done in our hearts and lives. And now your people leave this place, anointed by your Holy Spirit, to accomplish great things for the cause of Christ, their Lord and Savior. I commit them to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Lord's Day.
Inside, then I thought that